think a will is just for later in life? Think again. Today we're joined by Natalie McDonald from Natalie McDonald Law to talk wills, guardians and the family curveballs that can catch even the best laid plans off guard. Whether you've never made a will or haven't looked at yours in years, this is one to listen to. Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, very well, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Natalie, let's have a look at why a will matters. What actually happens to someone's assets in Queensland if they die without a valid will?
Okay, if you pass away without a valid will, then you fall into what we call the intestacy rules. That is governed by the Succession Act in Queensland, which is the rule book. But if you don't have a will, then the steps that your loved ones need to go through are actually more complicated and take more time.
And that's what you don't want when this has happened to you. You want it to be easy and smooth, don't you, when you're mourning a loved one?
That's right. Yes, that's right, because you've got people that are grieving.
Yeah.
And it's a very difficult process and everyone goes through it in different ways. So if we can simplify that by just doing a will, which is all about that person's wishes.
Yes. So what's the biggest misconception people have about needing a will? Like assuming they're too young or don't have enough to bother?
Very often those things come into place, but they're not true. You're never too young as long as you're over 18. And it makes it simpler. It makes it easier for those that are left, but it also gives you peace of mind as to what's going to happen with your assets.
Interesting. How often do you see people putting this off and what finally prompts them to act?
I see people putting it off a lot, actually. But quite often it'll be the death of a loved one or someone close to them. And then they start thinking, oh, hang on, I need to do this.
Mm. Yep. It is. I have a lot of people I know that don't have wills, and I can't understand it myself because I've always had mine in place. So let's have a look at the will making process. So Natalie, can you walk us through what a typical first meeting with a client looks like?
Okay, a typical first meeting is a get to know you session. I tend to do things the old fashioned way. I don't send people questionnaires. I sit down with people and talk to them. I find that people like to have that rapport, especially in this day and age where we're doing everything electronically. It's all part of getting to know your client and your client getting to know you.
That's fantastic, because you want it in real words, like words that you can understand, not legal jargon.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I get that so often. So many people come back and say, thank you for writing it in language I could understand.
Yes. So what makes a will legally valid in Queensland, and where do do-it-yourself will kits often go wrong?
Okay. Do-it-yourself will kits can be quite good, but where people fall down with these is they don't execute them properly, they don't write them properly. There are certain rules about what needs to be included in a will. There are certain rules, for instance, that you must have two witnesses who are not beneficiaries and who are both Australian citizens and over the age of 18. Quite often, people will just see witness, just get one person to sign it. That's invalid.
Interesting. So how specific can or should people get when naming beneficiaries and gifts?
It all comes back to that person's wishes. If someone wants to leave something to someone, that's the only reason that they need to give. It's just their wishes and that's it alone.
Okay. Well, let's talk about executors and guardians. What should someone actually look for when choosing an executor?
Okay. Choosing an executor is most important. It needs to be someone that you trust implicitly, because you need to know that they will carry out your wishes.
Excellent. Yes. And for parents,
and it's the same with guardians.
Okay. Mm. And for parents of young kids, how does naming a guardian in a will work?
Okay. Well, you name a guardian and you give that person the powers to act as you would as a parent. So that means they become the instigator of what school children go to, what activities they undertake, their lives in general. They do the job that the parent would have done.
That's very, very complicated. Very important too, isn't it? So
it also gives the person that's given that appointment, it also gives them the financial resources at times to be able to do certain things.
So a guardian needs to be somebody that you really trust and rely on because they're looking after your child.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. So then it gets difficult when there's blended families and complicated situations. How do blended families, second marriages or estranged relatives complicate a will?
They can, unfortunately. It depends on the people involved, the situation involved. Every situation is completely unique. Sometimes there'll be no problem at all. Sometimes blended families just fit into the normal regime and everything goes along smoothly. Other times you get estrangements, you get disagreements, all that sort of thing. And unfortunately, it's just human nature. Yeah, it's hard to describe, but every situation is unique and we need to trust to treat every situation as unique.
Interesting. This is really, can someone be legally challenged or contested even with a valid will in place? It's a tricky one.
Yes. And it's the will that they're contesting. So that's the most important part. The person has already passed and so now it's an estate matter. But there are rules and regulations about who can contest and timeframes. Timeframes are most important. If you don't fall into the correct timeframes, it's very difficult.
Okay. Now, testamentary trust, is that how you say it?
Testamentary trust.
Testamentary.
That's the way I say it.
But okay.
I don't know. We're all, it depends what school we went to.
Okay. So for listeners who haven't heard the term, what is it in plain English?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Testamentary trust becomes confusing because a will is actually a type of testamentary trust. But you can also do more, dare I say, complicated testamentary trusts that give absolutely specific directions about finances and about distributions and who will benefit from what. So you can either make it very complicated or very simple.
So
it depends on your situation.
Okay. So when would you recommend one over a straightforward will?
Possibly where someone has businesses and they want to experience taxation benefits, when they want to put assets into the names of other people rather than themselves. And it is complicated and it's usually done with a lawyer and an accountant.
Okay.
The two professionals work together.
That's a good explanation. So how do they help protect minors or vulnerable beneficiaries?
Well, because they give absolute direction. They give absolute direction as to what happens to this item and that item.
Okay.
Or money or investments, for instance.
Okay. So is there a tax advantage to structuring things this way?
Okay. Now, that's something that I can't give advice on because I'm not a financial expert, but I always say to people, go to your accountant, tax accountant, financial advisor, all sorts of people that can give you help with that. But then again, we work together because I can help with the legal requirements, but when it comes to especially taxation, it is the realm of your tax accountant.
Excellent. That's good advice. So what life events should trigger someone to review or update their will?
Okay, major events that happen in our lives. Now, the two events that can render a will null and void, for instance, are marriage and divorce.
Okay.
You can, if you're contemplating getting married or divorced, tell your lawyer when they're drafting your will because we can put a clause in that says that this is going to happen. But it's all about communication. It's all about letting people know. The other thing is I always say to people, revisit your will every 2 to 3 years. Sometimes also you might want to change your will if there's a child that's born,
yep,
or a grandchild, for instance, that you want to include in specifically in your will.
Okay. So you reckon every 2 to 3 years, just check it.
Approximately, yes.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just a matter of reading it over with your lawyer and just say, okay, yeah, that's still okay. That's still okay. Let's leave it.
Okay. Okay. So, Natalie, what's the one piece of advice you'd give someone who's never made a will?
Do it now. Make a will now.
Absolutely.
You can do a very, very simple will. It gives you peace of mind. It gives your family peace of mind. But just do it.
Excellent. So how can people get in touch with you to get started?
Okay. They can contact us by phone, email, or Facebook, all those normal things. We have recently moved to Beachmere. So give us a call. 54991508. You can go to our Facebook page. You can look us up online. We're easily available, and then we'll be able to give you specific instructions to help with what it is that you want to achieve.
It's amazing. Thank you so much, Natalie. So there you have it. A great chat today on wills, executors, and testamentary trusts. It's not the most exciting topic, but it's one of the most important, and proof that a bit of planning now can save your loved ones a world of stress later. A big thanks to our guest today, Natalie McDonald from Natalie McDonald Law. For more podcasts on local community topics, search podcasts on 1015fm.com.au.